This episode is brought to you by Yolele, the revolutionary African foods company. Learn more at yolele.com.
Hey there, and welcome to the Feed Feed podcast. I'm Alexa Santos, a food editor at the Feed Feed, the world's largest crowdsourced food publication and social media community, serving as your daily source for what to cook, bake, eat, and drink. Throughout season four of the Feed Feed podcast, we will be trying to help you solve that daily question that we're all faced with, which is, what's for dinner? Each week, we will be speaking with members of the hashtag Feed Feed community who are a constant source of ideas and inspiration and help us get dinner on the table every night. Today, I am joined by Valentina Musi, aka at Sweet Portfolio. Valentina is a food and lifestyle content creator and cookbook author. She's been featured on countless national media outlets, and you can find her delicious recipe creations and restaurant recommendations at Sweet Portfolio on social media. Welcome to the Feed Feed podcast, Valentina. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much, Alexa. I'm really excited to be here too.
Yay! So, Valentina, you are doing amazing things on social media, and your cookbook is out, or it's about to be out. Tell us all about it.
Thank you so much. Yes, my cookbook, the unofficial TikTok cookbook, available wherever books are sold, comes out June 1st officially. There's been a couple of pre-orders in the last 2 months, and those who pre-order should be getting their copy on June 1st, which is really, really exciting. I'm pretty sure that you already had a little sneak peek.
Oh yes, I got my hands on it. So what is the cookbook all about? I mean, you have, like, what was it inspired by? Obviously TikTok, but how did you decide this is, you know, what you wanted to do to put your kind of food adventures into writing?
Right. I think that last year the food scene, especially the one on social media, really evolved and pivoted because of the pandemic. And we saw this phenomenon of TikTok-inspired recipes, much different to what we had seen before on Instagram. So I really wanted to take those recipes that brought us together at a time of hardship and put them all and condense them into one cookbook that is fun and obviously included other recipes of mine that follow the same style. So everything on the cookbook is made with few ingredients, simple ingredients, very cheap ingredients, and things that are easy to make that do not require a lot of prep, or you don't have to really be a cook. You just have to have 10 minutes of time to pop something into the microwave or inside your air fryer, and you'll have something delicious. So that's really kind of like what inspired the book.
Yay. And what was your most viral food recipe on TikTok? I feel like you had a bunch, but what was the one?
I think that it was whipped milk. So after Dalgona coffee became so popular, I started to get feedback from some of my followers on TikTok, which happened to be a bit younger. They were telling me that they don't drink coffee. So I was trying to come up with something that would be similar and inspired by Dalgona. So I was thinking, how can I make chocolate milk that looks like it's whipped? So I made whipped milk, and I started making different flavor variations. So I made strawberry, Nutella, peanut butter, like whatever I could get my hands on, and like whatever was laying inside my pantry, I tried to make into a whipped drink. And these videos have millions and millions of views. I think that the one with the most views is a strawberry one, and it has like at least 15 million views on TikTok alone. And what I did was just it was strawberry milk, but I made it kawaii. So what the Japanese know is cute.
Yeah.
And I took just like a little transparent glass and drew eyes and a snout using a Sharpie. And then I cut pink starburst in half to make the ears. So basically, you can just picture it. It's the milk and then the pink whip topping. It just resembles a piggy. And it was just, I think that's so cute. And you like it, and just so easy to make.
Yes. And that's kind of like your whole vibe. It's kind of like the kawaii and like very cute little like kitschy little things. And it's super, super cute. Mm-hmm. So tell me about like, when did you start becoming into like interested in food as a career? Like, was this, did you grow up always kind of being fascinated by culinary things, or like, how did this all kind of start for you?
No, I did not think of food as my thing or my passion. When I was in high school, I was pretty much that model UN kid, president of the debate club kind of person. And I really wanted to, I was going to go to school to DC. I was going to go to DC for school, and I was going to do like international relations or political science. So I actually interned for Congress and for the Miami mayor.
Oh my God.
And it was just so different. I was so into politics, and I thought that was my calling. I thought that I wanted to change the world. And I think that at the time I had a very romanticized view of how politics were. And then after I did these internships, I realized I absolutely hated it. And I was just kind of like heartbroken by it, by the reality of it. I do really admire whoever is in politics, but it's really rough out there. So just fast forward to 2017. I was kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do. So I had decided to stay in Miami. And I always enjoyed food, but from like a cultural perspective, and just it's what I did with friends. I think that anyone who lives in a big city like Miami or New York understands that even when you're a teenager, like what you do with your friends is go out to eat or get brunch,
mm-hmm.
or go get a fun drink, not alcoholic drink at the time, but just like a tea, like boba tea or something like that. So my social life really depended on food, and I really enjoyed trying new restaurants, but I didn't think anything of it until I became obsessed with the Business Insider videos at the time, the ones that were on Facebook.
Yes.
Like those where they would show like a bucket list of spots in New York mostly, and just like ridiculous rainbowy foods at the time.
Because I think, oh yes, throwback.
Popular, anything rainbow, and I don't know, now it's not my thing, but at the time I was like obsessed with rainbow food and unicorn food, anything like that, mermaid. Those were like the trends. So
oh yeah,
I went to New York for a month with my best friend, and we were just had like this bucket list of places we wanted to eat at. So I just spent a month eating. Yes, I was in school because I was like in the middle of like my second gap year, and I was just like just figuring out what I was gonna do. So I was just like eating with my friend and hanging out, and I was taking photos of everything and sending to my family. So my parents really pushed me to start an Instagram account. They were like, oh, you should just put these somewhere. It's funny, like you would not expect parents to push you to
not at all. And I did the same thing. I was always taking pictures and sending them to my family, but they didn't say that. They were just like, great, cool.
So they've been so supportive from the beginning, and I think that really helped me a lot when I was first starting out. So I was taking photos of restaurants mostly, so I was just trying to find the coolest new spot in Miami. That's where I'm based. And I was like always scouting on Yelp, just because a lot of the new businesses, like the first thing they do is start a Yelp page. So that really helped me find places, or just like if I was driving around, I would just stop if I saw something interesting. And I try to like be the first one to take a photo at a place. And I really focused at the time on my photography. While I'm not a photographer, I can use a camera, and I think I was really focused on editing my photos in a natural way, like no filters,
mm-hmm.
no yellowy Lightroom presets,
yeah,
like real looking food. And my account just started to take off and people started to follow me, and which was really exciting. At the time, I did not follow a single foodie. Like I did not know food Instagrammers were a thing. I had no,
right.
Like I'm not one of those people like, yeah, I followed all these people for years and then I started my own account. I did not know anyone.
Wow. So you just kind of were winging it, but you figured it out somehow.
Yeah. I didn't know there was such a big community in Miami. Like, just randomly, one person told after I had like, I don't know, 3,000-5,000 followers, someone was like, "Hey, we have this thing like a media dine." I'm like, I have no clue what you mean by that, but sure, I'll show up. And there's like 10 other people with their phones out taking photos of food. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. People do this for fun.
Oh my God.
I was so clueless. And then I just like started like looking at people's pages and I kind of got the hang of it. And if you're not familiar with the food world, they're very interesting people.
Yeah.
Like, I think that for whoever's listening, like imagine you go into a room and you have a table with 10 people with their phones out and trying to capture
and the lights.
And like they carry little lights, like mini ring lights or little photography lights. And just imagine, it's like madness.
It totally is. But it's like, once you know, you're like, oh, of course, this is what's going down.
Also, for context, I was only 19. So it was kind of interesting. I was so young and all these people were like, oh yeah, I started with a food blog and now I have an Instagram. So they've been around for like 5-8 years and they were like much older than me at the time. And I was just like, okay, I'm just winging it. I think that my first year was just like, all right. I think that it really made me jump into adulthood. Because at the time, it's just like, I just graduated high school, like, and I'm just hanging out with all these people. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that worked out. No kidding. Oh, my goodness.
I got my first license. My dad would drop me off at the dines. Because it was fun. It was like, okay, bye, guys. My mom's about to pick me up. Because I didn't want to drive for the longest time. So my parents would have to drive me everywhere.
Well, lucky you. Yeah, you had a ride everywhere then.
Yeah, that was super nice, but now we don't.
Oh my God. So speaking of your family, tell me about like some of the cuisines. I know you have kind of an interesting culture background with your family. So what did you kind of like grow up eating? And like, what is your culture? I know you're kind of a mix.
Yeah. Well, I look pretty bland, like in person. I don't look like, I always say this, like, I don't look spicy. I don't look like I speak Spanish. my mom is Colombian. My dad's Italian.
Yes.
And I was born in Colombia. So I got to live and grow up with my maternal grandparents. I was very, very close to them. We lived in the same household, which was, as a kid, the best thing ever. Like, I'm so lucky I got to live with my grandparents. Like, it was like I had two sets of parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I was super close to them. And then my dad is very much Italian. So he had just moved from Italy when he met my mom. He moved to Colombia and just met my mom. They got married within 6 months of knowing each other. So
he
was still like, when I was little, my dad would have an accent and he was still like such a foreigner. So it was pretty interesting to grow up in that blended background, but my parents really made it work. Our Christmas dinners were so interesting. It was like half Italian food and then half Colombian food.
Oh my God. Yeah. You were doing like Feast of the Seven Fishes and like Noche Buena all in one or
kind of. Yeah. So my grandpa would make, like tamales, which are similar to the Mexican ones, like the Colombian ones are very similar. And then my dad was just making some sort of pasta dish. And like we'd have panna cotta and tres leches like the same night. Very interesting. And like I was telling someone recently, so in Colombia, they also eat arepas. They're not quite like the Venezuelan ones. They're made with real corn and they're like a little bit crispier. But usually you eat them with ham on top or whatever you have at home, like butter. But my dad would just have a bunch of deli meats. So I would just eat them with prosciutto.
Oh.
It was super, like my family still does this. Like it's super weird. I think I'm like the only person in the world that does that. But
that sounds delicious though.
it goes well. Like the arepas are very, I mean, they're like bread to Colombians really. They're just like really bland, like white corn tasting, so they go well with anything. So that was just really like an example of how our cultures blended. And when I was living in Colombia, I went to Italian school. So my dad was really just also trying to keep the culture with me. So now that I've lived in the U.S. for quite a while, I just feel like, I don't know, like they say third culture person. So I just have all three. And I mean, sometimes I worry a little bit because I don't feel like I belong. Like I don't feel super Hispanic, but I don't feel that European either. I don't feel that American. So I'm just kind of in between. But I think a lot of people in our generation, really, I think they can relate to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's a very fascinating way that your family went about it, kind of like the combination and like you're literally eating arepas with prosciutto on it. And like all these things are kind of like meshing together. So what were some other like, I guess, dishes that like maybe your dad or mom made that were like traditional Italian or Colombian that you really loved growing up, or some other food items that were like you kind of experienced in your childhood?
I personally love baking, but no one in my family is a baker. So I mean, my dad has a huge sweet tooth. So he would buy a different cake every day. It was madness. Like, this man, I don't know how he's able to eat all these sweets. But he would just go to a bakery every single day and bring a whole 8-slice cake.
Oh, my God.
So that's how we got, we satisfied our sweet cravings. But
yes,
my dad would always cook pasta. So his bolognese is my favorite in the world. Absolutely. Or when he makes lasagna. That's when people have asked me, what would your last meal be? I'm like, 2 pounds of lasagna.
Oh my God.
Like 2 pounds because I want to pass out after like eating all that food. It makes me sleepy. And then with my mom's side, there's this traditional Colombian soup called ajiaco, which takes 3 types of potatoes and just basically cooks them to the point where they melt into the soup. So it's this thick, kind of like whitish soup. And then they add shredded chicken and capers and like a little bit of heavy cream. So I was born in Bogota, and that's where they drink that because it's really Bogota's in the mountains, like in the Andes, and it's super cold. Mm-hmm. So it's just like something that they would drink in the region also because that's where they grow most of the potatoes because of the cold weather. So it was just, that was something I loved growing up. And then my grandpa's tamales, I haven't had a tamale in like 8 years, but like a childhood staple. Like every time it was Christmas time, he would make them, because in Colombia they have this tradition that like the 8 days leading up to Christmas Eve, you meet every single night with family and friends and you like sing a prayer and then like eat a bunch. It's all about the food though. Like,
yeah.
I really focus in the praying part, most like on the food.
Yeah. That's probably what you were looking forward to the most. That's for sure.
I didn't really care about the praying.
Yeah. So how did you learn how to cook? Like what was your, from your recipes, I haven't noticed a whole lot of like traditional, like Colombian or Italian food. Obviously you've got that inspiration, but how did you kind of like develop your culinary style, I guess?
Right. So even though I'm young, I'm not that young. I turned 23 this year. So I did watch a lot of TV growing up. Mm-hmm. So I loved watching the Food Network. And then in Latin America at the time, there was this channel that was like their Spanish like Food Network. It was like called like something gourmet. And I would just watch these shows since I was very little and just like watch. I loved watching people cook. It was just like to kill time. Mm-hmm. And then my mom started to buy me cookbooks. I just, since I was little, I just started like playing around in the kitchen, and then I got to spend a whole summer with my Italian grandmother, and she just like really let me play around with her in the kitchen. We were making like meringue and crostata, which is an Italian pie, and that's just how I started to get interested. And then also my I would help out a lot, like my grandpa, I would help him a lot when he was cooking, so they always let me just like help around. I just our apartment in Colombia had an open kitchen, so I was just always around And like I would help with little things. And then as I got older, like around the time I was 12, I started baking cakes. And my family liked them so much to the point where I had to bake every single birthday cake. It was so annoying. Like I always enjoyed cooking, but in my own terms, or just like every once in a while, like bake a cake or make cookies and just play around with whatever I had laying around. But I didn't do it on a daily basis. I didn't do it often, but always enjoyed it, or I always just saved the recipes, like Pinterest. I've had Pinterest for like 8 years and just boards with recipes. So just like looking at food, or I really liked going to restaurants and trying things. And I think that as I started to go to all these places and tasting it, like I think my taste buds changed a bit. And I was like, I bet I can make that at home. I bet I can pull that off. So I just started watching YouTube videos, and also I'm not that much of a YouTube person. I really like reading recipes. So I'm more like a cookbook person, or like someone's blog and reading through the recipe and executing it. Just because if I watch a YouTube video, I'm going to get distracted, because they usually take like 20 minutes to
watch. Oh my God, I know. Recipe.
So I like having it there kind of just written down like a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
I space out. I don't watch any YouTube, and I think that people think that's weird, but I hate YouTube.
I don't really watch YouTube videos either. I definitely like the short format better. And yeah, if I'm going to follow a recipe, I'm definitely going to have something written down rather than like watching someone like them going on like a 5 minute tangent about something and then coming back. You know what I mean? So I totally get you there. No preaching to the choir.
Playing around, and I think I'm just like a quick learner, and I definitely have like an, I would say I'm lucky, like I think I'm naturally talented at baking, and I'm very patient and methodical, and what I love about baking, it's like it's really precise, and it requires measurements, like you don't wing it, you have to, and I'm so precise. I have a million thermometers. I measure and I weigh my ingredients. I love the mise en place, like the measuring and getting everything ready. That's what I enjoy the most about baking, just like measuring everything.
Oh my God, I don't think anybody has ever said that they enjoy setting up their mise en place the most.
Being in control, and like I feel like I have control of one thing in life, and it's the amount of ingredients I put into something.
Oh my God, that's adorable. So when you're making dinner for yourself, I know you said you really love baking, but I know you do some savory dishes too, obviously. Mm-hmm. What, like, how are you kind of approaching what's for dinner every night? Like, I know you're probably eating a lot of restaurant food and you have a lot of stuff that you're shooting. So how do you kind of factor in what you're having for dinner on a normal basis?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I think that's really the behind the scenes of my life. For dinner, I'm mostly eating chicken that I make in my crock pot, just because I can have a lot of it. And I probably eat some quinoa or sweet potatoes that I make myself. I don't buy the frozen ones anymore, or just like roasted potatoes. So essentially some sort of protein with some sort of potato. I love potatoes. Yeah. I play around a lot with the seasonings, but that's really what I eat. I never told anyone this, but like I recently got diagnosed with some GI issues. So, which is ironic for what I do. So I really have to balance out my life. And I think that a lot of people, just when they think about food, they just think about their weight. And I don't eat to lose or gain weight or maintain weight. I try to, sometimes your body speaks to you, and you have cravings and you can satisfy them, but you can also like balance them out. So in order for me to indulge in all these sweets and restaurant food, I have to eat clean 80% of the time.
Mm.
And I think that anyone that in the industry can relate, especially for me, like it started to get bad in the last year. Where I had to go to the doctor and we had to like start a special diet so I could like balance it out. And mm-hmm. I think that's very unique to me. That's not everyone's case. I think food is fantastic. It's sadly, that's what's happening to me right now. Oh. But I think it's just really like a hiccup. And if I just take care of my digestive system, hopefully it'll be okay in the next couple of months and I can just kind of like go back to that lifestyle, like where I eat more.
Yeah. Like,
but it's okay. I mean, I'm still like, I'm really enjoying this in the sense that, well, this sounds like weird. It's really a challenge. So now I've been implementing more like plant-based recipes sometimes, or just like finding alternative ways of cooking with like the ingredients that do not get me like bloated or sick. So it's a challenge, but it's so interesting. Like now I have a different view and like baking. Like I've never really experimented with almond flour or oat flour just because I used to be allergic to nuts.
Yeah.
So I recently found out like 2 weeks ago that I'm no longer allergic. So I've just been playing around with nuts. I've never had nuts in my life.
So oh my God.
It's exciting. I mean, now that I can eat them and that I know that they don't get me as sick as other foods, I'm just like excited. And I think that it's normal for people to change their eating habits every now and then. Like I'm sure you have a food that you used to love and now you can't stand, or something that you could eat when you were like younger and now your body like rejects, like you develop a random allergy that happens to everyone.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. What a journey for you. That's like so interesting. And I know you also kind of pivoted from a lot more like restaurant coverage to more recipes in the last like year or so. So what was that kind of like for you?
It's the best thing to have happened to me. Well, it happened at an unfortunate time, which was the pandemic.
Right.
It was terrible time for everyone. When restaurants closed, I just like everyone else who does what I do, like it focuses on creating like food videos. Everyone had to start cooking at home.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you, I always enjoyed it, but I never knew to what degree. And then as I started to cook, as a way to like really cope with stress and to put content out there, I realized how much I love it. Like I never really wrapped my head around it. I never realized how that's really my happy place. How I can just, I'm super lazy and I hate like standing, like, you know, those people who are like always standing up and they track how many hours they stand up and like their Apple Watch. Like when I'm baking, I can be on my feet for 6 hours straight and feel tired just because it's really my happy place. So, and now that I'm in control, I really feel like I'm putting out content that really shows who I am and that really excites me. While I love working with chefs and I love supporting restaurants, now I just feel a bit more in control and I'm really enjoying it. And I think I get to connect with people in a different way than before, just because before the restaurants were just very local to Miami, or if I traveled to some place they were in whatever specific city. But now that I'm making all these recipes, I have people from all over the world, and as cliche as that sounds, making my stuff, which is so exciting to see. I built a following in places that I've never been to. I've never been to Brazil, but like 7% of my followers are Brazilian.
What?
And I don't know how, but I love it. These people are so nice, and then they make my recipes, and it's so cool to see like the slight variations. Just for instance, when I was making the strawberry flavored whipped milk thing, I would see the packaging for the powder they used, and it would be in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And then I had people in Iran make it, and it was like in Persian. So I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then I get to connect with people at just so many more people than before, which is, to me, it's so exciting. Like I think that somehow I'm like bringing a little bit of happiness and joy into these people's lives. Like I really want my social media and like my brand to be a synonym of happiness and kind of like have a pocket of happiness in the internet, just because I think in the last few years it's become such a mean place. Like there's so much hate online, so I just really want my page and my videos to be like positive and fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so happy that it's like bringing you so much joy and fulfillment. And then I mean, they say if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So I'm glad that it's working out that way for you. That's awesome.
Thank you. I'm excited. I think that the last year and a half has been great for me, just in the sense like I think I've grown a lot at a personal level and just kind of really found my calling. And while I am completely self-taught, I've been focusing more on learning new techniques and becoming a bit of a more like technical cook. And I really look forward, like in the next couple of months, I really want to take more. I've taken a few baking classes in the past, just like for leisure, but just kind of train myself a little bit further and learn more things just so I can really keep on sharing those recipes with people.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right now and hear from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Yolele, a revolutionary African foods company based in Brooklyn, New York. Yolele was founded by Senegalese chef, activist, and cookbook author Pierre Thiam. Yolele creates income opportunities for smallholder farming communities, supports their sustainable farming practices, and shares Africa's ingredients and cuisines with the world, starting with Fonio. Fonio is a delicious, nutrient-dense, gluten-free ancient West African grain. Fonio is also drought-resistant, so it's good for the planet. Yolele is creating a market for Fonio and other African crops grown under resilient farming systems to foster a more biodiverse, drought-tolerant landscape across West Africa. Try Yolele's Fonio, quick-cooking Fonio pilafs, and new Fonio chips, boldly flavored with the ingredients and flavors of West Africa. Sign up for their newsletter for recipes, notes from the field, and culinary discourse, and get a free bag of Fonio with your next order of $32 or more. Learn more at yolele.com. That's Yolele.com.
So tell me some ingredients that you always have on hand. I assume they're baking ingredients, if I had to guess.
Yes. Vanilla bean paste is probably one of my favorite things in the world. Yeah. I love it. Like, my favorite ice cream flavor is vanilla, and I think that it's my favorite flavor profile ever.
Really?
And some people think that vanilla is boring, which I get offended, because I always tell people, when someone says like, oh, vanilla is boring, I'm like, okay, then describe vanilla to me. How would you describe the flavor of vanilla? Because it's very complex. It's just that maybe people are just getting used to it, or they're not eating like the right vanilla beans. But so that's a staple.
Vanilla bean paste. Yum.
Heavy cream, heavy whipping cream, just because I enjoy making like whipped cream, and it's just so versatile. Like, you can use it in so many things, and it has such a rich flavor, which I love. I don't shy away from dairy.
Good.
And then for something savory, peperoncino, so red pepper flakes. I don't love spicy food, but the only spice I can handle comes in the shape of red pepper flakes.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm not great with spicy food. I'll eat it, but I will like start sneezing and crying. But my favorite thing, like, that doesn't make me cry are red pepper flakes. So I think those three.
Okay, well, those are good ones. My goodness. Those are awesome. So tell me, who inspires you, Valentina?
I would say my grandfather. My grandfather, the one who helped raise me. He sadly passed away 5 years ago, but he just, to me, was a genius. Like, he was so talented at everything. He was a painter. He could sing. He could write. He was, like, great at math and, like, super cultured. I mean, you could talk to him about like any sort of like geopolitical conflict, or you can be like, oh, so let's talk about China. And he's like, he would tell you everything. So he was brilliant and fantastic cook. So I love how he really pursued all of his passions. So to me, he's like the most inspiring person in my life.
Oh, that's adorable. That's so cute. And then, like, I guess from like a culinary standpoint, like, who do you, I guess, look up to, like, as far as like career wise?
Martha Stewart. I think she's awesome.
She really is.
I love how she's herself and like so unapologetic. I mean, I've never met her. If I did, she's probably not even gonna be that nice to me, but I mean, Like, I've heard people who've met her and they're like, oh, she's not that nice. I'm like, yeah, because she doesn't owe that to you. She's,
yeah, exactly. She doesn't care.
I imagine if people were like always bothering you, like, you probably wouldn't be asked that nice either. So I love that about her. And she's just, she's had such a long career and somehow she always manages to rebrand herself and stay relevant. Like, now she's launched her whole CBD thing, which I'm sure like 15 years ago she wouldn't have able to do, but she's like not afraid to do those things. And her relationship with Snoop Dogg is really funny.
Oh my god, I love it.
She's like the only person who has the guts to do those things, especially as a female in the like the food world, where people see her as like just like a middle-aged boring lady when mm-hmm. she's not. So she's like not afraid to kind of like shy away from those stereotypes, and she's like a great businesswoman. So I think she's awesome.
Well, that's another great answer. My goodness, you have me convinced on both of them. Yeah, like your grandfather and Martha Stewart. What else? What else do we need? Oh my goodness. So tell me, how often do you grocery shop?
Every 2 days.
Yeah.
I when for eating, like for instance, like chicken and fish and whatever, I try to buy it the same day. Just gonna want it to be like super fresh, and I don't like to have anything frozen like that. And then for ingredients, I just I constantly get ideas for new recipes, and I like to do my shopping at different stores.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Target. I live in Florida, so we have Publix, which
yep.
favorite. And then I go to Walmart too, because that's where they have like the weirdest like snacks, like weird flavored Twinkies and things like that. So yeah, I go grocery shopping a lot, and it's also like it's something I used to do with my mom. Like we love going grocery shopping. Like it's like our thing. Like I like last night I went to Target for an hour and a half and I just walked through every single aisle. For me, it's a fun activity.
Yeah, do you have a great time?
Absolutely, it's my favorite thing in the world. It's my happy place. Not just Target, but any grocery store. Just like looking at all the food, and that's also where I get a lot of inspiration, because I see some ingredient or something. I'm like, wow, I can make something with this, and I just get an idea. So I just love walking around. That's where I get a lot of inspiration.
Yeah, I actually really like looking around at groceries too. I mean, I don't go physically grocery shopping a lot because I live in New York, so I get like delivery a lot, you know.
That's the reason why I would never move to New York, and I've said this to people before. It's like I cannot just jump on the subway with a bunch of bags.
Yeah. It's not ideal. I end up just getting most of my groceries delivered because it's not an ideal place.
What do you do? Instacart?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. And then sometimes they mess up the items.
Oh, yeah. All the time. So, like, I totally get your vibe of, like, enjoying walking around the grocery store. I miss it a little bit, actually. So, especially Publix. Oh, my God. I grew up in Florida, so I know all about Publix and everything you're describing.
My dad loves grocery shopping. He goes so often to, like, the one in our neighborhood that everyone knows him by name. And my family enjoys the act of buying groceries.
Yeah, they must have passed that down to you.
I think so.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Well, did you have anything else important to add that I didn't ask you yet, my friend?
No, I don't think so. I think we were very thorough. I just want to remind people about my cookbook that comes out June 1st. I'm really excited to share that. All of the recipes were triple tested, so they're foolproof. And I include a lot of tips on how to grow on social media when your focus is food. So I kind of, the first chapter, like the introduction, is like a couple pages long, where I just kind of spill a bunch of secrets and tips and how I made this thing into a career.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to share those recipes with people. I mean, some of them were in the book. I do have like some pasta dishes that were inspired by my family. And these are like recipes that I hold very dear to my heart. And I'm so excited to be able to share them all at once with people. So I'm a little terrified of like reaction, but I'm also super excited and looking forward to getting people's feedback, even if it's bad, because that's the only way I can improve and become a better cook and baker. So.
Oh my gosh. No, I'm sure it's going to be absolutely amazing. And congratulations for that. Again, it's going to be great. And I think that people are going to love those recipes. So it's going to be awesome. Well, thank you so much, Valentina, for being here today. It was such a delight catching up with you and chatting and learning more about you. I'm like so fascinated by everything. And it's just really, really great to hear all about your story and how everything became to be.
Thank you for taking interest in me, Alexa, and like to the Feed community. I really appreciate it. You guys have supported me since day one. So I'm very grateful.
Yay. Thank you so much for listening. To learn more about the food and drink discovery platform that is the Feed, head over to thefeedfeed.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at thefeedfeed, and don't forget to follow Valentina at Sweet Portfolio on Instagram and TikTok. If you have a food story to tell or want us to interview a blogger, cookbook author, chef, or restaurateur who has helped you solve that question of what's for dinner, we would love your suggestions. Just send us a DM on Instagram. See you next time.
The Feed is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradio.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from our listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Thanks for listening.